Hello, family. This is Larry Hogan. I am your host for the podcast, Where Do We Go From Here? That is the question, the answer, forward, always forward. I'd like to continue a series that I started on my last podcast, and it was titled, it is titled, Scripture Has Been Read, An Interpretation from a Steward. Let me remind you, this is a series of scriptural interpretations from pre-selected verses as provided under the leadership, guidance, and direction of Senior Pastor at St. Mark AME, Pastor Terrence Renard Gray. I invite all of you to listen to our prayer call. If you are so inclined, please join us at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. every day. The number is 667-770-1523. It'll direct you to enter a code, and the code is 722-623#. Now, the interpretation, let me just real quickly, the prayer call and the interpretations is twice a day, 6 a.m., and the scripture is read by a steward, a trustee, with a prayer. At 6 p.m., a prayer is given, and then the verse of scripture is interpreted by a steward. That is what I am. The interpretations, they run from this latest series of interpretation, can go back as far back as 5 or 6 years, though our prayer call has been in existence for well over a decade. As I read this interpretation, the scripture, this verse, I'd like to give you a background, if you would. This is done in January of 2021. Late January of 2021, early February. And the scripture verse that I'm about to read is 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 13. Okay, and the national news at that time was the peaceful transfer of power in Congress. And as I said before, the start of Black history. So, scripture verse, 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 13. I will read it in its entirety. And this is from the English Standard Version. It's titled, There is Food Offered to Idols. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom we are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not come in us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eaten, it is in an idol's temple. Will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brother and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. The scripture has been read. My verse of focus will be 12, which I will repeat. I will reread. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. 1 Corinthians challenges believers to examine every area of their life through the lens of the gospel. Paul addresses food, sex, worship gatherings, the resurrection, and divisions. Many of the problems and questions the Corinthian church was dealing with then are still present today. Chapter 8 deals with the dispute of eating food that has been sacrificed to idols and the resulting division that could occur. Further study leads me to believe the mention of food and idols are symbolic. Part of the text was dealing with divisions in the church. The conflict was new Gentile converts versus established Jewish believers. The guiding principle should be to consider the conscience of a weaker Christian as more important than individual freedom. Doing something permitted should never hinder the spiritual health of someone else. If your actions make your brother weak, do not do it. Make sacrifices for the cause of Christian unity. To further my case for symbolism, Matthew 4:4 reminds us that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In Deuteronomy 8:3, Christ referenced food, humility, and hunger to make a point to the people of Israel in their wilderness experience by supplying their needs with daily manna. So let me conclude this way. Too much food implies greed. And I will submit to you that greed, if not the main problem, it is certainly a leading problem for the world and where we are today as a nation. So here now is where I want to stake my claim. Inspired by the events leading up to what happened on January 6th, and seeing as this is the beginning of Black History Month, and though he was known for so much more, I want to give a shout out to the late great Congressman John Lewis and take a page from him and use as my title, Good Compromise. My 3 points. Point one, culture, meat and potatoes. I am a connoisseur of information, be it television, radio, print, or social media. Why is that important? Because there's a wealth of information available at one's disposal. Use them. My analogy with the subtitle is for my beloved wife, Wanda, who tries so hard to prepare a well-balanced meal. But at the end of the day, I am just a basic meat and potatoes kind of guy. So, for Black History Month, one of the stations, the shows I watch, ask its panelists and guests to name a Black person who inspires them, living or dead. On this day, I heard 3 names, Hank Aaron, Berry Gordy, and Toni Morrison. These magnificent human beings made their mark on society and the world, and with little research, everyone knows their claim to fame. Hank Aaron got death threats because he was about to pass Babe Ruth's home run record. Berry Gordy, the founder of Motown, whose artists many say provided the soundtrack of America, particularly in the 60s, they could perform at most any of white-owned venues in America, but could not sleep in those same white-owned hotels. If there is no Toni Morrison, simply put, there is no Amanda Gorman. Imagine, if you would, the compromise and sacrifice they had to make just to pursue their passion. Proverbs 18:16 says, a person's gifts makes room for him and brings him before great people. Point number 2, political, American Idol. Paul says an idol is nothing, meaningless. It has no power, which is a perfect description of former President Donald Trump. This is not to say the millions of voters who cast their ballots in favor of the former president are racist, nuts, immoral, or not decent human beings. Might I remind you daily what Romans 3 and 23 states, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You want unity? You want good compromise? How about this? For at least 5 or more years, the Republican Party and its leaders said nothing about the divisiveness and misinformation coming from the then sitting president. You want unity? How about telling the truth? How about not trying to take health insurance away from millions of Americans? How about no support for members of Congress who believe in wild conspiracies, the killing of Democratic leaders, and celebrities drinking blood from babies? How about making it easier to vote? How about fully funding a COVID-19 relief, which includes Main Street and not just Wall Street? You cannot say you support law and order and then 45 of 50 senators refuse to hold officials accountable for committing treason against the United States. There must be consequences. Did you hear the crowd shouting deadly threats directed at Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and Vice President Mike Pence? Our own Florida Congresswoman Val Demings was there as well. This is the same Republican Party who less than a decade earlier spent 2 years, $7 million, and over 30 congressional hearings to investigate and condemn the events of Benghazi, where sadly 4 people died on foreign soil. Now, with 5 deaths, including a police officer, and not including 2 possible related suicides on American soil at the Capitol, no less, now you want the country to move on. Press Secretary Jen Psaki said it best. The Republican Party does not define unity for the country. Point number 3. Spiritual, the power of the tongue. Pastor Gray continues to implore us to read your Bible, read your daily devotional, and listen to the daily manna for inspirational guidance. You know, feed your faith, starve your doubt. Some folks now wish they had heard and followed that advice. Rolling Stones magazine authored an interesting article about right-wing evangelicals, aka white folks, and its contributions to the events on January 6th. At the pre-gathering of the insurrection, Pastor Paula White opened with a prayer. She called on God to give us a holy boldness in this hour. She called the election results into question. She implored God to let every adversary against democracy, freedom, against life, liberty, and justice, against peace, against righteousness be overturned right now in the name of Jesus. An hour later, the former president would encourage that same crowd to fight like hell. Other articles revealed when, after breaking into the Capitol, a group paused to pray in Christ's holy name. Men raised their arms in the air and thanked God for allowing them to send a message to all the tyrants, the communists, and the globalists. "This is our nation, not theirs," they shouted. They thanked God for allowing the United States of America to be reborn. An interpretation for another day is the phrase, "The power of life and death is in the tongue." If ever there was evidence of how that is true, it was then, at that moment, as thousands of people followed the instructions of an idol. Last Wednesday was the funeral services for Officer Brian Sicknick, who was violently and brutally killed on January 6th, not by enemy combatants on foreign soil, not by Muslims or Islamic terrorists. It was not Al-Qaeda, but by so-called American patriots who, if they had a different religious affiliation, and let me be clear, these actions and those prayers does not reflect Christianity. And I might as well say it. If they were of a different pigmentation, they would be called terrorists and treated as such. As I close, let me connect the dots. Paul's message was, if your actions make your brother weak, including food eaten and idol worship, do not do it. Make sacrifices for the cause of Christ. So make good compromise. As I close with the greatest compromise ever made, despite our many shortcomings, I choose Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This concludes my interpretation. Y'all be blessed. This also ends my podcast. Where do we go from here? Thank you for listening.